This morning's sermon is titled, God's Plan. We ended our sermon series on giving, and today is a free sermon, I guess you could say. We're not in a series yet. We will start a series after the mission ministry rally. We're going to do a series on the parables of Jesus for about 11 weeks, so look forward to that. So today was kind of a free sermon, not associated with any type of series. So as I knew that I would be preaching today, Leah's out of town, I was just thinking and praying, and I thought, we're at the end of 2017. Tomorrow is 2018. It's a Monday. It's the first day of the week. It's the first day of the year. I thought, man, it'd be a good time to just to do a sermon on looking forward and looking at the future and preparing. And God started laying on my heart. And I have this sermon here, and it's one I preached years ago in Mississippi. And I thought, well, you know, this would go pretty good for today. Now, I had seen all the videos from the Annie Armstrong already, but I'd watched that one we saw today in October. So for me to remember what was on, all I remembered was David Platt was in it talking. That's all I remembered about that video. And there's a clip in that video that ties right into my sermon today. And I thought, yep, okay, God, I'm on track. So I'm going to deliver this today, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from, and I hope you follow it. But God has a plan. I want you to know that up front. God has a plan. God has a plan for me. But God also has a plan for you. God has a plan for you that God knew about before you was ever created in your womb, in your mother's womb. God had a plan for you. And God has a purpose. And today we're going to look at about David's life and how David was used all through his life for the purpose of God. Now, generally speaking, things that we learn today, we will use later in life. For example, in elementary, you learn 2 + 2 = 4. Then later on in upper elementary or maybe junior high, you learned that 2 + x = 4, and you knew how to solve that to know that x meant the 2. So what you learn today, you build off of, and you learn more tomorrow, and you use tomorrow what you learn today, and you use the next day, and you continue to learn and grow. We learn that lying is not a good choice. We learn that touching a hot oven is not a good choice, and you don't do it. Some of us may have learned that eating at Taco Bell at 2 a.m. in the morning is not a good idea. But you learn from life. You learn through life. One of the teachers I had in high school that influenced me to go on into education, he would say that. He had several sayings that he stole from various people, because then I realized he wasn't as smart as I thought. But he would say, time will heal all pain. And it would, it does. And he says, the day you quit learning is the day you die. And I thought, dude, I don't plan on learning once I get through a school. I mean, it's over. But it's so true. The day we quit learning is the day we die. Every day we should learn from what we do. Every day we should learn and grow. Now, tomorrow is going to be the biggest day of the year to tell a lie. Do you realize that? We're not going to call it a lie. We good church people, we're going to call it a resolution. Who's ever made a resolution? Come on, I know you have. Maybe it's to get healthier, lose weight, or some other garbage like that. But maybe it's something important. Maybe you want to make a resolution that's not a lie to grow deeper into the Lord. Maybe you want to make a resolution that says, I'm going to read my Bible more this year than I've ever read my Bible before. There is 1,189 chapters in the Bible. If you read 4 a day, you can read the whole Bible in right at 11 months. So if you read 3 1/4 chapters a day, it'll take you 365 days to read the Bible. So maybe you can set the resolution that I want to grow deeper in the Lord because I want to read my Bible more than I did in 2017. Maybe you can make the resolution that as we go into 2018, I want to have a deeper prayer life with my Savior than I did. Let me encourage you to make that resolution. But let me encourage you also that God has a plan for you. And the deeper you dig into God, the further you go into the Scripture, the clearer your plan will come visible to you. So let me encourage you to do that. If you have your Bibles with me, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we'll be looking there at 6 through 13. If you want to, you can mark 1 Samuel 17. And we'll read some scriptures out of there, starting at verse 34. But 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and said, "Certainly the Lord's anointed one is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart." Jesse called Abinadab and presented him to Samuel. "The Lord hadn't chosen this one either," Samuel said. Then Jesse presented Shammah, but Samuel said, "The Lord hasn't chosen this one either." After Jesse presented 7 of his sons to him, Samuel told Jesse, "The Lord hasn't chosen any of these." Samuel asked him, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," he answered, "but right now he is tending the sheep." Samuel told Jesse, "Send for him. We won't sit down to eat until he gets here." So Jesse sent for him. He had beautiful eyes and a healthy, handsome appearance. Then the Lord said, "Anoint him, for he is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day forward. Then Samuel sent out and went to Ramah. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful year that we've had, Lord, and I look forward to the wonderful year that you're preparing for us. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you pour your anointing on me, God, that I deliver this message the way you intend, Father, that the hearers' ears will be open and our hearts will be open to hear today the message from you. Father, I thank you and I love you, and it's in your holy name I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now let me give you a little history here. King Saul is king of Israel. He's the first king that Israel has ever selected. He started off a pretty good king, but things changed and he became not such a good king. And Samuel is the priest and he has been praying, "Lord, we need a new, better king." And the Lord says, "Samuel, I'm going to send you to Bethlehem to the house of Jesse, and you're going to anoint his son to become king." So Samuel sets out and he goes to Jesse's house. He's scared that Saul's going to find out, because if Saul found out what he was doing, he would have Samuel killed. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house. He offers a sacrifice and says, "I'm here to anoint your son." Well, Samuel, I'm sure, thought it. Jesse thought it. All the brothers probably thought it. The firstborn son would be the one who would be selected to to be appointed king. That was kind of the way things worked. You even study in English history about the kings of England. The firstborn son was the one that would be chosen to be the king. So they just automatically thought. And Samuel walks up to him and probably ready to put his hand on his shoulder, and God says, nope, not him. Samuel steps over and, nope, not him. Nope. No, all the way through. And you pick up where we are, and Samuel says, do you have any more sons? Because something's wrong. And Jesse says, yeah, I got the baby boy. But he's tending sheep because he's only like 12, 13 years old. Go get him. Because God sent me here. Go get him. So they go get David and they bring David in. And Samuel looks at this little 12, 13-year-old boy. And he says, and God says, this is the one you'll anoint. And he takes a horn of oil. And he opens that cap off that horn of oil. And he pours that horn of oil. All, and I ain't talking about just a little bit of dap on his forehead. I mean, he anointed him. It poured down his hair, into his ears, down his face, across his shoulders, and pulled up on the floor, symbolizing the anointing power of God would be on the presence of David. He was anointed king. It would be 30 some odd years later before he'd ever take the throne. God had a plan and David had a purpose. God had a plan to use David in mighty ways. Long before Samuel ever knew that there would be a king of Israel, the same God that created the universe with his words, not with his hands, the same God that parted the Red Sea for Moses, is the same God that told Samuel, go to Jesse's house, I'm going to anoint the new king. Let me tell you something today. The same God that anointed David is the same God that sits on the throne. It's the same God that is the great I am we just sang about, and it's the same God that has a plan and a purpose for your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are today. God has a plan and a purpose for you. David was just a young boy. Nobody ever thought a young 12-year-old boy was going to be anointed anything. They didn't even call him up to dinner. They left him in the field to guard the sheep. But when God has a plan and a purpose, it don't matter what the world does. It don't matter who gets in the way. When you get right with God and the anointing power of God comes on you, things happen. Things move and people's lives are changed when God comes into the picture. Now I want to just tell you just a little bit here about David at this point. David was a shepherd. And I'm sorry if I offend anybody at this point. But David had the worst possible job God could ever give a person. He had to watch sheep. The most disgusting animal in the world. I don't have any love loss for sheep, if you didn't know that. They're oily, they're greasy, it gets on your hands, it gets on your clothes, it makes you stink. I don't like sheep. But David's job was to be the shepherd of his father's sheep. Every day he had to watch them. Every day he had to take them to water to drink. Every day he had to take them to get grass. Every day he had to make sure something didn't hurt them. His job was to shepherd those nasty, dirty, filthy, dumb sheep. But there was a plan behind watching sheep. There was a purpose in watching sheep. Sometimes I just imagine David sat there on a rock thinking, man, I wish I wasn't the baby brother. I don't like this job. I bet David sat there thinking, what could I do to do something different? I don't like this. But David didn't understand that there was a purpose behind him watching some sheep, because God had a plan. If you want to, you can turn to 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to read verses 34 and 37 today. Now, David got lucky. The Israelite army is fighting a battle against the Philistines. His brothers are there fighting. And his daddy says, hey, go take these supplies to your brother. So David gets lucky and he don't have to go watch the sheep that day. He gets to go to the battlefield and see what's going on. And there at the battlefield, he hears the taunting of a giant who's making fun of Israel. And little old 13, 14-year-old David says, man, what y'all scared of? Why are y'all not going over there and fighting this guy? Man, let me go. I'll go fight him. I'll go right now. I'll whoop him. And somebody heard him say that, and they took him to King Saul. And this is what David says in the presence of King Saul, 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 through 37. I'm going to go back and read 33. But Saul replied, you cannot go fight this Philistine. You're just a youth, and he's been a warrior since he was young. And David answered Saul, your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off the lamb from the flock, I went after it. I struck it down and I rescued the lamb from its mouth. And if it reared up its head against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down and kill it. He was guarding sheep. All he thought he was doing was his job that his daddy had taught him to do. But when the lion came, he attacked the lion and he got the sheep back. When the bear came, he attacked the bear and he got the sheep back. God was using David in a time when he was doing a job most of us would hate, preparing him for the future. I'm here to tell you today, some of us is in jobs, some of us is in life situations, some of us are facing things right now. We're going, why, God, am I having to do this? Because God is saying there's a plan and there's a purpose. You can't see it just yet, but I promise you, when you get through this, there's a plan and a purpose that there's going to be something better on the other side. I almost titled this, the plan, the purpose, and the payoff, because there's a payoff at the end. There's a reason why we're going through what we're facing. There's a reason why we're tending sheep today, because God is preparing us for a bigger battle. God is preparing us for a greater tomorrow. 14-year-old boy has already killed a lion and a bear. Barehanded. Says he grabbed him by the fur and he killed him. All David was doing was his job. But God had a much bigger purpose. God had a plan. David had to become a fighter because he was going to fight for his rest of his life. And to fight for his kingdom, and he was going to have to fight for his God. I'm here to tell you that we need warriors like David who are going to fight for the kingdom of God today. We need men and women who are ready to look the lion and the bear in the face and say, I'm getting the sheep back, and if I have to kill you, I'm going to kill you, but I'm going to take the sheep with me. We need men and women who are going to stand up in this church, in this community, in this county, the state, in this country, who says, I'm going to be a warrior for God, and there ain't nothing greater than he that is in me that's going to come against me that my Savior can't outdo, and I'm going to fight for my loved one that don't know Jesus yet. And I'm going to fight for my neighbor who don't know Jesus yet. And God may be preparing you to be the next person on a video screen that's leaving on an airplane going to a foreign country, because God's got a purpose and a plan for your life to be used for the glory of God. We need men and women of God to take the stand and say, I'm going to stand for Jesus. I never thought I'd see the day that we're living in a world as corrupt and as morally backwards as we can be. I never knew that I would live in a time in America where you could walk up to somebody and say, let me tell you about Jesus. And they say, who are you talking about? I never thought there'd be a time when I could say, do you have a Bible? And somebody says, no, I don't know what a Bible is. But we live in a time in America, don't kid yourself, in Carbon County, Montana, where people do not know the name of Jesus Christ, who do not have a Bible in their house, who have never read a Bible. It's time we stand up like David and we face the bear, we face the lion, and we say, no matter what, I'm going to stand with Jesus, because there's a plan and a purpose and there's a payoff. 1 Samuel 17, 48. So let me give you a little history here. David talks Saul into going to battle the giant. Saul says, put on this armor. David puts on all his armor. He says, this ain't going to work. It's too big for me. David's a 14-year-old kid. Most theologian scholars think David were somewhere about 14 to 16 years old at this time. I mean, a little old, 5'2" at the most. He said, this armor ain't going to work. He said, I got everything I need. And he goes down to the creek, or the crick. And he gets 5 smooth stones, and he puts them in his bag. And when the Philistine, verse 48, when the Philistine started forward to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag. He took out a stone and he slung it, and he hit the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down to the ground. David defeated the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Now, we're not talking about just some everyday soldier. We're talking about a giant that would have stood about 3 feet taller than me. So if he'd have been standing flat-footed on the floor, I still wouldn't have been looking eyeball to eyeball. We're talking about a giant whose armor weighed about 200 pounds. We're talking about a giant who the end of his spear weighed 15 pounds, and the shaft of that spear was every bit of 8 to 12 feet long. Who had an armor barrier to help him carry his sword and his spear, because it weighed too much for one person just to carry around everywhere. We're talking about a giant of a man up against a 14-year-old boy. Odds don't look good. What does David do? He runs. He runs into the battle. He said, greater is he that is in me than you, Philistine giant. He said, the great I am is with me. And he took to the battle. And he put his hand in his pocket. And he got out one of them little smooth stones. He had 5 of them. You want to know why he had 5? Because that giant had brothers. He was prepared. And he ran and he met Goliath. And he let that rock go. I'm going to tell you something. They said radar was invented somewhere about 1938, right before the breakout of World War II. Radar was invented somewhere about the time that rock left that slingshot. Because Radar grabbed that rock and it went straight to the one place that giant didn't have armor. Right between his eyes. And it struck him dead. Why? Because David had been prepared by God. As he stood in the field watching sheep, and he stood in the field protecting sheep, God was preparing him to fight a battle against a giant. Today, you're looking at the face of a giant. We have battles in our life. Right now, you're looking at things, and it looks like a giant. You don't know how you're going to get past it. You don't know what in the world you're going to do, because you're looking at a giant. And God's saying, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, I got a purpose and a plan for you, son. You just hold on. We're going to get through it together. He goes on to say that the giant fell. David took his own sword and he took his head off. Let me tell you something. When you're 14, 16 years old and you kill a giant, people are going to talk about you. If they'd have had Facebook back then, it would have been the greatest. It would have been blown up. Twitter would have been tweeting. It would have been 20-something more years before he ever come king. But you better believe that the day they said King David, everybody said, that's the one that killed the giant. Are we going to be giant slayers today? Are we going to stand in the face of opposition and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Are we going to stand there and say, whatever Satan throws at me, I know that my Savior is bigger than? Are we going to run to the battlefield? You see, David had been prepared for war. David had been prepared to face what he was facing. He was doing a lonely, dirty job. Nobody else wanted to do it. But even in that darkest, loneliest, dirty time of his job, God was saying, son, I'm preparing you. Son, I'm preparing you. Son, I'm preparing you. David, I just can't imagine being a 14-year-old kid thinking, hey, one day I'm going to kill a giant. God was preparing. David says, I come to you in the name of the Lord, as he ran into battle. If you want to model your life after somebody in the Bible, model after Jesus. If you want to model your life after somebody else with Jesus, look at David. Because we should model our lives at this one point in David's life where he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Because when you come in the name of the Lord, when you go to the battle line and you've made your mind up that you're standing with Jesus, it may not be easy, it may not be pretty, but when we stand for Jesus, there's going to be a payoff. There's going to be a payoff so great that we can't even imagine. David, the story of David could end right there. He killed the giant. That was awesome. They beat the Philistines. It was wonderful. It was a great day to be an Israelite. It could have ended right there, but it didn't. God didn't stop preparing David. You can continue reading in Samuel's Kings or Chronicles more about the life of David. You can see how he had to run for Saul for like 13 years. He had to run from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. But finally come the day that the anointing of God that had poured on him from that oil from Samuel come to life, and he was appointed king. But you can also turn to the book of Matthew in the New Testament, and you can see the payoff of David. If you read in Matthew, it says, Solomon fathered Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth, and Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered King David. And you continue reading 6, 7, all the way down to verse 16, it says, and Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. See, David had a purpose. It wasn't just to kill lions and bears and giants. He was the lineage of Jesus Christ. If from his king, from that throne, would come the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. David had a purpose because God had a plan. I'm here to tell you that all of you, every one of you today, have a purpose, and God has a plan for you. No, you may not be a preacher, an evangelist, a Sunday school teacher, a children's worker. You may not even take up the offering in this church, but God has a plan and a purpose for you to be used for the glory of God. You may be the next great evangelist to spread the gospel around the world. Or you may be the next mayor to give Christian counsel to a city that needs it. You may be the next missionary to reach a lost tribe in the Congo. Or you may be the next school board member to pray over your school. You may simply just be the person that greets someone with a warm smile and a soft hello that lets them know somebody still loves them and there's something greater in you than it's in anything else in the world. Or you may be like that girl on that video who had to run from South Sudan so she wouldn't be killed. Tell me God don't have a plan and a purpose for people. Landed in Texas. Went to church in a First Baptist church for God to say, I got a plan and a purpose for you, sweetheart. Trained her up in a church where she knew the fear of God. And what did God do? He said, it's time to go back. And he sent her back to the mission field to be a missionary. God has a plan and a purpose. God has a reason. No matter what it is, it matters to God what your plan and your purpose is, because it was his plan long before you was ever thought of. I'm going to read one more scripture to you today out of Psalms. You don't have to go with this one if you don't want to, but it's Psalms 139, talking a little bit more about David here. Psalms 139. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travel and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it. Lord, you have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. The wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I live in the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light around me will be the night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. This is a beautiful picture of how God is involved in every single aspect of every person's life. The first 12 verses discuss how no matter where David went, God was always with him. God knew David when he was in his mother's womb, long before he had even thoughts, long before words ever formed on David's tongue. God knew David. And the same holds true for you today. Long before you was ever conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you. And God had a plan and a purpose for you. We are just hours away from 2018. What's going to be your purpose in that new year? What's the plan that God has for you? For you to be used for God's glory. No matter what you do in 2018, if you don't do it for God's glory, it's in vain. God knows you, God loves you, and God has a purpose for you. As we get ready to go into 2018, Let's go into it knowing that God is in total control, and there's a reason, and there's a plan, and there's a purpose. As the worship team makes their way back to the stage, you may be sitting there today saying, man, Bill, I have no idea what God's plan or purpose is in my life. 6 years ago, I could have sat right there beside you and held your hand. I didn't have a clue what my plan or purpose was in life either. Let me tell you the first step. The very first step in ciphering your plan, your purpose for God, is surrendering yourself to His authority. He is our King. He is our Savior. And until we surrender ourselves at His throne and we give our life to Him, you will never fully know the purpose He has for you. Man, I can't think of a better way to start 2018 than to call up somebody and say, hey, man, I gave my life to Jesus yesterday. I'm starting this year off as a child of God. And if that's you today, I'd love to talk to you right now. If you want to talk later on, that's fine. But the first step in defining your purpose is committing your life to Jesus. If you're here today and you need special prayer with something, I'd love to pray with you. This altar is open to come and pray as you need to. As we go into 2018, let's remember, He has the plan and a purpose for your life.